love you. And one day you're going to look back into this moment and realize just how much that introduction meant to me. I appreciate it, son. I want to say thank you to our pastor, Pastor Weegar, a wonderful pastor, for allowing me to use this platform. Thank you to my amazing wife, Raquel McCarter, for encouraging me to stand before the congregation. Yes, yes. And most importantly, thank you, God, for our Father in heaven for this moment. Hopefully someone in this audience today will leave today touched by your Holy Spirit. I'd like you to pray with me, family. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, the time has come once again for your children to exalt your heavenly name, Father God. I come to you humbly as a man of this earth and as a vessel of your divine word and Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord. I surrender all to thee. In your beloved name we do pray. Amen. I'd like you to pick up your swords or your Bibles today, congregation, and whatever version that you like to read, and read along with me on these two texts. I have two particular scriptures that we're going to dive into. The first scripture today is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It's Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And I'd like for you guys to read along with me. Okay. If you'd like to stand, I'd love for you to stand with me as you read along. Again, it's Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Our second verse will come from Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I'd like for you to read along with me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As a young adult, you may be seated. You may be seated. As a young adult, someone who's trying to find his place in this world as a man, as a husband, and as a caretaker and a provider, I'm oftentimes at a crossroad with my faith. There are many days that I couldn't ask any more from God. Everything is perfect in my own little world. And how great he's been for myself and for my family, I can't imagine. And then there are some days where I wrestle and I struggle and I tussle with the things that I'm seeing in my environment, the things that I'm seeing out in the world today. And I think to myself, where is the mercy and goodness of God? Is my faith being tested? There are times when I look at the world through my eyes and I see natural disasters taking the homes and lives of innocent loved ones. I see countries at war with each other. I see injustice running rampant in our communities. I see disease, famine, and cancer tearing our families apart at the seams. And through my eyes, through the eyes of a mortal man and a sinner, from what I see, it oftentimes can be confusing. Where is the goodness of God? The title of my sermon today, my brothers and sisters, is God's Not Dead. God is not dead. His goodness is always and forever. Only good things can come from God. Back to our scripture, Isaiah chapter 41, 10, it states again, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, my wife, a few people know this about me, but I have a mild case of obsessive compulsive disorder. For those of you who don't know, you repeat certain things over and over again at certain moments and at certain times as you come across them. For instance, if we're sitting down, we're watching a movie for the second time, she'll notice that I've said the same thing at the same minute, at the same part again. And she'll point it out to me just as most loving wives do to their husbands. They point those particular flaws out of their husband, and God bless her. But God does something with this this phrase, fear thou not. It's used in several different ways in different books. It's fear thou not, fear not, be not afraid. As a matter of fact, the New King James Version, fear thou not, is used 129 times. Very, very obsessive compulsive with that word. In the King James Version, it's used 74 times. I'm sure you will find in many different versions that you're reading that it's used constantly and over again because it has a lot of meaning. It has a lot of weight. This verse is plain in its meaning. And when reading it, it should console you, make you feel comfortable to anyone and everyone that's listening today. As addressed in this text to the exiled Jews during their captivity in Babylon, the idea is that they who had been selected by God to be his special people had nothing to fear. But this same promise is one that may be regarded as addressed to all his people. And in it, as true now as it is then, that those whom God has chosen have nothing to fear. The word rendered here, dismayed, in its use, is said to mean to see or to look, and then to look about as one does in a state of alarm or danger. The sense here that is being used in Isaiah chapter 41:10 is that they should be calm and under no apprehension from their foes. God is saying that he's able to preserve and strengthen thee. The God of heaven was their God, and he has all power, and that power was pledged for their protection. I will enable them to bear their trials is what God is saying in this particular verse. With my faithful right hand is actually a Hebrew phrase and mode of expression, meaning that God's hand was faithful and that it may be relied on and would secure them. Some may believe that God is a mean and punishing God, but the Bible says he is good and only good things come from him. He is a God of protection. And Jesus himself said that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, not God. Jesus also said that God sent him to the earth that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And this is referenced in John 10:10. God is not dead. His goodness is always and forever. There are many reasons why we should not be afraid. If God is for us, who can be against us? What higher consolation can man desire than the assurance that he is with him to protect him? As I look back on certain events in my life, I wonder what have others experienced similar to mine. I'll give you an example. One day I was getting ready for work, and I am a man of fault, so one of my weaknesses is punctuality. I tend to think that I have more time than I really have. So as I'm getting ready for work, as I do every morning, I'm asking my wife for the fourth time, where are my socks? And as I'm getting ready for work, I rush out of the door and I jump in my car and I'm sitting in my car and I put the car in reverse really quickly, as some of us may do in the morning if you're in a rush. And I started to back up, and before I could notice, I saw something in my mirror, so I slammed on my brakes. And it was a neighbor who just so happened to be taking a different path that morning, walking around the neighborhood. So I halted, the neighbor waved to me and gave me a look and then kept going. And so I got in my car and I started to go down the street. I came across some traffic on my way to work, and I noticed that I could hear sirens wailing in the back behind me. And as the sirens drew closer, I noticed that they continued on past me. I could only fear the worst. I was already running late, so I was thinking, hey, I'm definitely going to be late now. Something's going on up ahead. So as I get closer and closer to the intersection, and I'm sure some of you have experienced this, as I got closer and closer to the intersection, I noticed that there was a wreck up ahead, a really nasty wreck. It looked like a T-bone accident where one driver had plowed into the other one. And I could only imagine and think to myself, oh, God, I hope everyone's okay. And as you drive past that accident, I'm sure that surreal moment hits each and every one of you, and you say to yourself, God, thank you. Thank you. Had that neighbor not been walking behind me that day and stopped my car just a few seconds later, that could have been me. So I encourage you to believe what you see and read in the Bible. Believe that what Jesus did when he healed the leper, he wants to do for you, my sister and brother, who is suffering from cancer. What he did when he restored the blind man's sight with nothing more than spit and dirt, he wants to do for you, my pastor. What he did when he healed the crippled man on the mat and told him to get up and walk, he wants to do for you, my sister and my brother, who is suffering and ailing from that pain in your hip and your legs and your side that's causing you to stop walking every day. What Jesus did for the deaf and the mute man when he said, be open, and restored his hearing and his tongue, he wants to do for you, my brother and my sister, who can't seem to find the right words to say to your loved one who did you wrong. Yes, you know who you are. When you know you want to be asking for forgiveness, that lump in your throat, that thing that's stopping you from swallowing, is you just can't find the right words to say. Yes, my brother and sister, you won't listen to your parents' plea for you to stop your bad habits and surrender your life to God, accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, because through God is the only way to eternal life. Yes, my brother and sister, who's listening when Jesus keeps speaking to you through your own children, who are seeking the Lord, who want you to take them to church, who are just hoping that one day you won't drop them off at the back of the church and you'll step inside. Yes, my brother and sister, who is wanting to speak up during the appeal every single week to let the Lord know you are ready to accept the message of the cross. Yes, if you're lonely. Yes, believe he will comfort you. Yes, if you're sad. Yes, believe he wants to give you joy. If you have a need, believe he will meet that need. He is a powerful God, a living God, a loving God who loves you and I. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him shall have everlasting life, should not perish and have everlasting life. Is there anyone who believes and has faith that God is a living God, whose Son Jesus came to live amongst men to show the way, whose Son Jesus bare that heavy cross and that tatted crown of thorns, the beating and crucifixion to pay for the price of our sins, who rose from the tomb and ascended to heaven? God is not dead. No, his goodness is always and forever. And notice how Jesus affirms our faith in Hebrews 11:6, if you'll turn with me. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God cannot be pleased with the man who has no faith or confidence in him. Have you persuaded your child before? Not every parent at once. Have you persuaded your child before? Children, have you persuaded your parents before? I'll give you a prime example. When my sweet baby girl, Mallory, bless her heart, when she starts crying and wailing, or my son is pouting or upset, I persuade them. I offer them maybe a small token of appreciation, maybe a toy or a cookie. In Mallory's case, it would be my cell phone, which she hijacks and watches YouTube videos of the Daddy Finger song. So, and the reason why that works, do you know why that works? It's because your child or your parent has confidence or faith and belief that you will give them what they're looking for. Sometimes we treat God like a child, wanting to persuade him to show us that he exists. Well, you should be more like the child and have faith. And then the scripture says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What the apostle here is saying in Hebrews is without confidence and faith in God, in his fidelity, his truth, his wisdom, his promises, one who doubts the truth of his declarations and promises, who does not believe that his ways are right or that he is qualified for universal empire, God cannot be pleased with this one. God cannot be pleased with one who has no faith or confidence in him, who doesn't believe that God exists, which is the first thing required in worship. You can't worship something if you don't believe it exists. If we cannot believe or hear and answer our prayers, there could be no encouragement to call upon him. It is not meant here that the desire of the reward is to be the motive for seeking God, but rather that it is impossible to make an acceptable approach to him unless we have this belief in him. In other words, have faith and seek God for the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing ruler of the universe. Diligently seek him in his message of the cross. Seek to understand God and be rewarded with the gift of eternal life. God is not dead. His goodness is always and forever. Back in 2009, the winter of 2009, I was almost carjacked at gunpoint. I had got off from a long shift in work, and I pulled up to my apartment complex, and just as I normally would any other night, and a text came through to my phone. It was actually my mother-in-law, and I felt the need and the desire at that moment in time for some reason to answer this text message. So while sitting in my car, my door was still locked. Thank God. So I picked up my phone. And I started to reply to my mother's text, and I saw a shadow pass in front of my car. I looked up, and I didn't see anyone. So I went back to completing my text message, and then I heard a tap and a knock on the glass. And I looked up, and I could barely make out the figure, but it was a male, and he was holding a gun pointed directly at me. I immediately threw my vehicle in reverse. I backed up as fast as I could, and I ran. I left the scene. Which spared my life, and I can't thank my mother-in-law enough for sending me that text message at that moment in time, and God's grace being there with me to spare me and spare my life. And it just goes to show you that having belief in God, he will provide that protection and put his arms around his loved ones. He will take care of you. So I want to encourage you this morning to take a personal application of what you've heard by trusting in the never-ending goodness of God. Trusting and having faith in the goodness of God is one of the foundational doctrines of the Bible, found in Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 2. Without trusting God, without having faith in his goodness, it's just not possible to please him. I encourage you, trust in God's love. I encourage you, release your faith in his love and mercy for you. And expect him to help you. Nothing will please him more. God is not dead. His goodness is always and forever. Possibly you've been believing that bad things come from God. Possibly you've been believing that all bad things in your life came from God. But you've seen from the God word today that his love for you would never change. You've seen from the Bible today that Jesus wants to help you the way he helped the leper when he said, "It is my will." Jesus is saying to you today, "My Father is good. He is the source of all good and only good. He will never change. I, Jesus, will never change. The Holy Spirit will never change." My brothers and sisters, would you all take a stand with me today? Please. Let us all confess our love for Jesus, the same Jesus who died on the cross for you and me. If you just want a special blessing in your life today, a special prayer that is needed for you, my brother, who's dealing with the issues that he's dealing with at home, who can't seem to get his children to listen to him because he's spending too much time at work, for my sister, who is at home, and she can't get her husband to listen because things aren't going right in their relationship. That young man who knows what's right, but he can't stay away from the friends that influence him in a negative way. My young sister who wants to be as popular as the other kids, so she follows their lead. The young woman who is dealing with the ailments in your body that Jesus wants to heal for you. The man who is dealing with the issues on his job that he just can't resolve on his own, and his pride won't allow him to surrender his life to Jesus, I encourage you all. My appeal to you today is I want you to join me at the altar while we pray upon you. You know what ailments affect your body. You know what mental issues that are invading your life. I'd like for you to come and just receive prayer today. Receive the blessing today. God knows exactly what's going on in your heart, young man, young woman. Nobody's watching, but we encourage you. Just step forward and receive a blessing today. If you are someone who is here for the first time and you think that this is a church home that you can be a part of, and you'd like our pastor to speak with you or pray with you, please come forward. We encourage you. For that young man, that young woman who wants Bible study in order to receive the prayer and power of God and accept him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we encourage you. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, your word is almighty. Your rule is almighty. You are a merciful God, a good God. And we appreciate everything that you've done for us. We come to you humbly. You know what bothers us, Lord. You know what ailments that we may have in our lives, whether it be physical or mental. We just ask that you put your hands on us and touch us and heal us and bring us deliverance, Lord. You know what sins and transgressions that we are faced with that we want to just ask for forgiveness, but we just can't find the strength to do so. Lord, put your hands on us. Give us that strength. Give us the encouragement that we need. Dear Father, that young man and that one young woman who wants to devote their life to Christ, but they're running into obstacles at their home, they're running into obstacles at their school, they're running into obstacles that prevent them from giving their life to you, Lord, remove those obstacles in their life. That man and that woman who is dealing with the issues of faith and their faith being shaken, we ask that you present yourself in their lives, Lord. Give them an opportunity to surrender themselves to you. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for dying or sending your Son to die on the cross for us, Lord. There is no greater gift of love than to sacrifice your only begotten Son. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In your name we do pray today. Amen.